Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, steak and eggs?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Again with the dilly.
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow,
bow. Wall Dick, where you at?
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, O, J, K, L, M, N, O, K, P. Yeah, I forget after that.
He's glass for breakfast.
I'm concerned, guys.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Welcome in here on a...
It is a Monday, right? Feels like a weird Monday.
Is it still a Monday if it's Christmas? I say no. The days don't matter this week.
That is the voice of one Michael F. Hurley.
It's true.
You know him, you love him. Joins me on the occasional holiday here on the Sports Hub.
It's nice. Usually it's once a year. We're cutting it right in half this
Labor,
year.
Our Labor Day extravaganza has gotten an encore for Christmas Eve.
It drew rave reviews, I hear, out in the community. So
yes.
they couldn't wait another 7, 8, 9 months for that to happen.
They said, you know what? We've got another day coming up where there's going to be zero people on the roads.
Oh, it was lovely.
And we need Mike Hurley in studio, filling in for Tutcher and Rich. I am Ryan Johnston. No Flynn today. He will be with me Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in this time slot. Had some family obligations. Strangely enough, around Christmas, had some family obligations.
What? Like Christmas or something?
Yeah. No, actually, it was he had a party last night. Because his boys are in the theater.
Doesn't he have like 45 children?
Yes, and all of them boys.
Wow.
He's like Philip Rivers, starting his own clan. They're in a theater production, and so they had their wrap up party last night, and he knew it was going to be a late night, and so rather than subject us to hungover Flynn this morning, he decided to tap out. So
I was up late last night too, but I was writing, not drinking, so.
You don't drink while you write?
Not usually. I try not to. My writing is bad enough.
Have
as
we
it
learned
is.
Nothing from Hemingway or Poe or like some of the?
They didn't have Twitter though. Twitter
some
wasn't.
Some of the great writers were just raging alcoholics.
There was no watchdog looking over their shoulder, looking for every opportunity to pounce on any mistake. So
yeah, it did take much longer in those days to get the reaction.
Yep, years in some cases. Now people will know right away, and then you get in trouble. So. Try to keep it straight and narrow, you know?
Well, a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
On this Christmas Eve morning. I'm sure there are a lot of you who are probably just waking up thanking God you don't have to go to work today.
I've always had to work on Christmas Eve. Am I in the minority there?
Yeah, but
I think
see,
this year's different because a lot of companies.
It's a Monday,
yeah.
So like you're not going to bring people because nobody's really working.
Right.
Like if you bring your employees in on Christmas Eve,
yeah,
everybody's worried about what they're doing tonight, getting the stuff together for tomorrow. Like, nobody's paying attention to their job.
Cleaning out the email. Cleaning the desk.
Yeah, and they're going to be they're not coming back from lunch today.
Borrowing Stacy's eggnog recipe.
Like, this is one of those days where if you were working, like, rush hour starts at, 11:30 a.m. Mm. People are just going to abandon ship. They're not coming back for the afternoon. Next week's going to be the same thing. Like, New Year's Eve... day, which typically, I don't care much about New Year's Eve.
Right.
But New Year's Eve day is usually, you know, you kind of have to work at least a half day. But then
that's
you
a got, 3 o'clock.
Everybody's
out.
Got Tuesday off, so
I don't.
You don't? Oh, were you covering the Winter Classic
from afar? Yeah, but yeah, you know, someone's got to do it. Hopefully, the Bruins show up to this one. Unlike the previous,
the last one was not that fun.
That was depressing.
Yeah,
I got to cover that one. I got down there at Gillette at like 7:30. The parking lots were all full. The fires
it
were
was,
going.
It was a great atmosphere.
The drinks
was,
were out. Everyone,
Bertrand and I were broadcasting live down there in the morning, and we're having a blast because everybody's like excited.
It was awesome.
It's a hockey day.
It was a holiday.
It was great.
And then they dropped the puck. Oh my
god! Yeah, after the introductions, it went downhill quickly.
They lose 5-1, 6-1. It was they really didn't.
I punched out after the first period. I'm like, I'm not sticking around here and getting stuck in traffic to watch this.
There's moments where, you know, from a sports media standpoint, where you're sitting in the press box, nice and cozy. You obviously didn't pay a dollar to be there. I feel bad for people in situations like that where you look around and you're like, that guy paid 200, that guy paid 200, that guy paid 200, and you're just like, that's awful. So hopefully this year's a little different.
I would hope so. The Blackhawks aren't very good.
Yeah, there's a soft landing there, but
we'll get into. By the way, the Bruins did play yesterday. Most of you may not have seen that, but the Bruins did play yesterday. We will touch on that later.
Throwback game.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. No, I have an objection to the Carolina Hurricanes making any money off of the Hartford Whalers.
That's fair.
History because
on account of stealing the franchise.
Yeah, I mean you can't, and it's different ownership now, so like that takes some of the sting out of it. But you can't go out there like 20 years after the fact and rub Hartford's nose in the fact that we used to be your team, and you know. Start playing Brass Bonanza and all that stuff. Like it just didn't feel right to me.
I can't blame them though, because there is such that surge of sort of Whalers love that still exists, where people are always buying the shirts.
I mean, well, the unis are pretty sweet. I like them. You know, they have a very festive feeling around Christmas too.
Maybe it's the first step in a bridge to soothe some sore feelings that aren't quite healed over 20 years.
You want to do that? Let me just.
Just playing in Hartford.
10 games a year in Hartford.
Yeah.
No, 10 games a year at the old Hartford Civic Center would do a world of good.
That
expand
might,
your fan base.
That might reek of desperation, though. Like, they would only do that in a year where they're just not selling tickets. They're like, let's go to Hartford.
Isn't that every year where they don't sell tickets down there?
When they're
doing good,
well,
which has been a long time, but when they're good,
you want to talk about
it's
a tailgate
not a bad
scene.
Market.
Tailgate for hockey, that is... prime market right there.
Yeah, I mean when they went deep, you know, they ended up winning a cup, but when they were going deep into the playoffs, like there were massive tailgate parties. They did the football thing outside of hockey games. That's great.
They beat the Bruins in what was it, 2009. I remember the scenes there. It was legit. Scenes that Boston hockey fans could even be jealous of because there's no tailgating outside the Garden.
Yeah, it's too bad about that, huh? Not that we would do a lot of tail. I mean, it's like
yeah.
You know, in a regular season, you know, game you're probably not going to be.
Maybe me, but a lot of people, I'm sure they would.
I would. You know what? I think I would elect for the bar.
Well, that's because you're a classy individual. You know, not all of us are a man of your means. We got to make do with what we got. The 24-pack of Keystone in the parking lot.
Hey, you know what? I went to a place to watch the football games yesterday, and they were serving. We ordered a round of beers to start the day, and they brought them over in red Solo cups.
Really?
In an
establishment?
In a fairly well-known establishment.
With like a lacquered wood
bar? They
brought
over, you know, and TVs everywhere and like, you know, places. They brought over beers in a red Solo cup and was like, are you serious?
Are they afraid of rowdyism?
They were running short on glass because... Everybody showed up between like noon and 12:30, and this was the excuse that the waiter gave us when he brought over red Solo cups, because we looked around and there are other people drinking out of very nice looking glassware, and
so they didn't like your face.
And he said,
"What happened?"
He said, "We're out of clean glasses."
No.
So that, I'm like, "How do you even have in a place like this? You even have a stack of red Solo cups behind the bar?" Like, that wouldn't be something that you would expect. I mean, these are your stereotypical Toby Keith Red Solo Cup, you know, Solo brand 18-ounce plastic cups.
I don't know how to break this to you, but they looked, they took one look at your faces, and they're like, no, these guys aren't getting glass.
It took,
these guys are trouble. They're
it took
plastic.
Until, like, the third or fourth beer before they brought glasses over, and that was because somebody at the table specifically requested, can I get a glass now? Is that okay? And then, you know what happened? The next round of beers, for some reason, and I didn't even order it, right? They just decided that I needed one. They brought it over in a Red Solo cup again. So I went, like, from plastic to glass back to plastic.
Did you pour it in your glass?
I thought about it, but then I also thought, you know what? I've had, like, four tall ones at this point, and I don't want to create a disturbance. And I figured it, all it would take would be for me to just miss a little bit,
and
now it's a whole
right.
thing, and, hey, we need to get a stack of napkins and clean this up.
And you prove them right.
You know, and plus it was, you know, the games were going pretty well at that point, so it's like I don't want to screw anything
the
up.
The feng shui of the day. All I hear when you tell that story is you went out, and I'm jealous because I haven't done that. I don't do that anymore.
I don't do it anymore either, but my parents are in town, and they're Eagles season ticket holders, and they needed to see the Eagles game yesterday. We don't have the Sunday ticket because we usually just watch Red Zone. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't going to fly, and so we needed to find a place where we could have Patriots game and Eagles game side by side.
What a game, too. Nick Foles.
Nick Foles making himself so much money again. I didn't think it was possible after the Super Bowl that he could potentially make himself more money this year, but he's making himself more money.
And he's actually physically making himself more money because of his contract.
It's
one of the great. It's like the old XFL. You only get paid if you win. But when he took that shot to the ribs from Jadeveon Clowney, I'm like, man, good run for Nick Foles, but we'll never see him again. So, I thought he died. I thought he got Drew Bledsoe to be in the hospital.
I really thought the Eagles were going to go, you know, have to try and make the playoffs with Sudfeld at quarterback.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was over. And then we missed one stat. He was smart, though, because he did all his agonizing and pain on the
just
field.
Just lay on the field. Because, don't leave the field until you're ready to come back
exactly.
in, right?
That was smart. That was really smart, but what a game that was. It was funny in the locker room yesterday because we all watched the end of the Eagles game before going to the locker room.
Yeah, it was kind of an important game there.
And all the Patriots players were like, Nick Foles, man, thank you. Love it. Love you, Nick Foles. And then everyone was like, isn't it kind of awkward to root for them? And everyone was like, nope. No, it isn't.
You know, it is amazing. We'll talk about this throughout the course of the morning. But the Patriots get help from the Eagles yesterday, beating the Texans. The Chiefs lose last night.
I can't believe
the Patriots
one seed is still
are open. Still in the hunt for the one seed. They're into the two seed right now. They got the help that they needed in Houston. They take care of business next week. They're guaranteed a week off, and they can still potentially grab the one seed. That looked like a pipe dream like 2 days ago.
Yep. Yeah, I thought the number two seed was somewhat realistic because I thought that was a tough spot for Houston.
Yeah.
Coming north, playing a desperate team, needing to make the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact that no one really wants to take control of the conference is fascinating. And it's, I think, and we can get into this deeper, I think, throughout the day, but everyone's obviously down on the Patriots because they don't look like the Patriots and they don't look like, you know, the 12-4, 14-2 dominant, stomp your throat out team. But you got to look at the competition. You got to look out there and say,
there's
who
a legitimate shot that even if they finish the number two seed, that they host the AFC Championship game.
I have a very bold statement I'd like to make. I don't know. Maybe we could save it for a little bit. But watching that game last night,
because I'm not ready to count on the Raiders beating the Chiefs next week to get you the one seed.
I don't think that's going to happen. But it is. No, it's not. I thought I was going to say the last game in Oakland, but that was yesterday.
Yeah. So I don't. I'm not expecting John Gruden to go into Kansas City and win the regular season finale there.
If I'm on that Raiders team, the only thing I care about is watching my legs and making sure no one hits my ACL.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I care about next week against the Chiefs.
But I could absolutely see Kansas City, the way that they're playing, losing in the divisional round at home. It's in Andy Reid's DNA.
We've got primetime games against the Seahawks, Patriots, Rams, and one more for the Chiefs in the past, you know, since week 6, and they've lost them all.
Yep.
Andy Reid, primetime, Mahomes has some shakiness in these big spots. I mean, he looks great at times, obviously, but he makes some bonehead picks. I thought in that 53-50 loss to the Rams, he lost the game with his picks. As good as he was that night, he makes some goofy decisions with the football that come January, you make one of those, that's all it takes sometimes.
All right, well, we got a lot of NFL to talk about today. Obviously, we'll get into what happened last night, take a look at that Patriots win yesterday, and where they stand going into the final week of the regular season. It's Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Make it your homepage.
A connection.
98.5thesportshub.com. You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
Go ahead.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich this morning. Ryan tweeted us, in the spirit of whatever it is you're revealing on the radio, we were talking about my experience at Scottie Pippen's house, your experience with Curt Schilling's house.
Yeah.
He says, in the spirit of whatever you're revealing on the radio, I feel compelled to tell the world that I called Chris Webber on the phone once from a Joseph Aboud factory store at the Wrentham Outlet Mall. Thanks, that felt good. That's a very random.
There's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on there.
Right? You just, you know, you're why you would be making that phone call while you're shopping? Like, did you have to ask Chris Webber's advice on fashion? Like,
well, I assume he worked there, maybe?
Maybe.
He's following up on a suit purchase?
Oh, maybe. Okay, so Chris Webber had perhaps ordered something from Joseph Aboud. And
it would have to be custom because he's like 11 feet tall.
Right.
Very large man. Maybe he had to double check a size.
Okay.
I could see that. That's a cool call to make. A little nerve-wracking, I'm sure.
Would it really be?
Yeah. You never want to bother a man of Chris Webber's.
Well, yeah, but if you're, you know, calling to, you know, make sure that his suit fits, I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Chris Webber's an outlet shopper? Is that what we're getting at?
I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, how much money did Chris Webber make in his career?
Probably not as much as we might think.
Oh, come on. In the NBA? I mean, granted, it's not, you know, current day NBA, but it's not that long ago.
True. The internet is not being very kind to me when it comes to career.
Estimated earnings over the course of 15 seasons, $178,230,000.
Cut like $100 million out
shopping
of that.
Shopping at spending. The Wrentham outlets Makes sense then. Yeah.
You got to keep it. You got to keep that money. How do you get? How do you stay rich? You know?
You don't. That's true. All right, speaking of the NBA, Celtics played yesterday and won for the first time in like 9 days.
Kyrie lobs to the free throw line. Horford jump pass to the right wing. Tatum going to rock a three. Got it, and the foul. It's a Festivus trample run for the Celtics tonight. Get the pole.
Get the pole.
A Festivus for the rest of us.
I feel like Grandy, I guess he was working Festivus references in all day yesterday.
Yeah, about 27 times during the broadcast, I would
estimate. I feel like he wanted to say miracle there, but then realized it's really not the right term for just, you know, is a guy hitting a three-pointer. It's not, that's really,
if you were,
not really miraculous.
If you were sort of zoned out and missed the Festivus reference, you'd be very confused when he said get the pole. Very confused. Because I was sort of zoning out there, and then did he just say get the pole?
Get the pole. Celtics ending a 3-game losing streak after losses to Detroit, Phoenix, and then Milwaukee the other night. They romped Charlotte. 119-103 was the final score. Now they get to get ready for the annual Christmas Day affair. Philadelphia tomorrow, 5:30 start time, which Mike Gorman, I heard last week on Toucher Rich, not that pleased about.
At least it's at home, though.
Christmas Day.
Yeah. Wouldn't you rather be later? I guess you have dinner.
Yeah, no, I would. If you're going to give me the choice, I mean, I would much rather this than like the noon game, which they played before.
They got to cancel the noon game. Just cancel the noon.
You know
game.
What? I'm out on Christmas Day games in general.
Yeah, I
don't like
get
the
it.
Idea of having, you know, sports on Thanksgiving and all that, and something
I
to
get
me about
that it's like, their day, but like the NBA's day, but it's I always think of, and maybe I'm like a big soft baby, but I always think of like the guy that's got to sell popcorn and the lady's got to sweep up the
you gotta
aisles.
Staff the arenas.
There's a guy standing in a freezing cold parking lot collecting $50 a car, making $20 an hour at best.
I assume the bars are the bars going
to
be
the
open.
Bars have to open
the garden, right? So
the
all the bartenders have to be there.
It's just such a big production for a basketball game when one of 82. It seems a bit much.
That's the problem. It's like it's just a regular season game. I mean, ultimately, we're going to talk about we talked about the Winter Classic earlier. Like, ultimately, the Winter Classic is it's a regular season hockey game. It's
right.
You know,
at least, I mean, New Year's Day, whatever. I don't know. Christmas Day is a time. If you celebrate it, it's a time for family
and kids, all that. New Year's Day, it's like, well, you know, again, I'm not a big New Year's Eve guy, but that cuts into your New Year's Eve festivities knowing, like, I got to get up early and go in and put in a day's work tomorrow.
How about everyone that has to work tonight for the Denver Broncos at Oakland Raiders football game?
Well,
that is miserable. I mean, wouldn't show up to work because your job's gone. You don't have a job anymore after tonight, so you might as well not even show up.
You're putting that on at your Christmas Eve festivities, though, tonight, right?
I'm not, you know, on my home turf tonight, so I actually will probably skip that. It's the rare football game I could really give fewer than one poop about.
I'd love to know who scheduled that, because it's not like we expected that was going to be a playoff caliber matchup. So it's like, you know what, we need
just
to have a game on
bozos.
Christmas Eve. Let's pick out two teams that are going to be completely out of it and throw that on, because nobody's going to care one way or the other anyway.
If I work at that stadium, I swear I'm not even showing up to work tonight. If I got to sell beer at the Oakland Coliseum, the team's leaving. Maybe you work for the A's too, but I would talk to my A's boss and be like, listen, the Raiders, Christmas Eve, forget about it.
What's the difference?
What would you have done, boss?
Right.
A's might be leaving too. And let's be totally honest.
By the way,
is that still happening?
Yeah. Can we count the ways, the number of places that the Raiders might play their home games next year? So the Jay Glazer
AT&T
said yesterday
ballpark.
London is a possibility. How do you play in the AFC West and play your home games in London? Let's see.
There's a college in there.
Glendale,
sure,
has been mentioned. San Diego. I've seen Fresno, Reno.
San Francisco, yeah, the Giants ballpark.
The Giants ballpark and the 49ers place have both been mentioned.
There's a college in Vegas, but I guess that can't handle it.
No, they would have to basically redo that whole stadium, and that place is getting knocked down in a year anyway, so that's out.
I feel
San
like
Antonio has been mentioned.
That would be great. Because, like, San Diego would be kind of weird. I don't think anyone in San – like, that's a fan base that hated the Raiders, but there's still probably enough Raiders fans to support it.
There's Raiders fans in Southern California, so you'd actually might be able to draw a crowd. Like,
they might
do
better than the Chargers did.
If you're playing the 49ers stadium or the Giants stadium actually makes sense, because at least you're still in the Bay Area.
You're drivable.
Although those people are, you know, most of them are checking out on the Raiders at this point anyway.
There's a market issue there too, from what I read. Like you'd be in the San Francisco TV market, so there's a whole nother layer there. It's money.
Yeah.
More rich people would want more money. But that would probably make the most sense.
But yeah,
I don't think they're going to why
should
not just share it with the 49ers.
They don't really want to do that, I guess. I don't know why.
That's really far.
But it's a real NFL stadium.
Right.
And, like, if you're a Raiders fan, you could go to a real – but I guess they don't really draw that well in Oakland. So what's it matter? Yeah. I it's almost as if this organization is run by a goober who was born really rich and has no idea what he's doing. That's the impression I'm getting from this conversation.
All right. We will we'll tell you about what happened in the Bruins game yesterday. If you missed it, you missed the Whalers uniforms, and then you also missed
I think there was a pretty
not good.
There was a pretty big development with the Bruins last week that I think went completely unnoticed.
All right. Well, that's good tease.
Yeah.
Michael Hurley will tell us about that coming up next. Johnston and Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Half a minute left in the power play. Rask, look out, gave it away. Aho, he stopped, and they score shorthanded. Rask stopped Aho with his back leg, but Teravainen scooted in and drilled it home.
essentially an empty net shorthanded goal to make it 5-3 Hurricanes.
Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich this morning, and that was the final score yesterday. Hurricanes beat the Bruins 5-3 the day after the Bruins had taken care of business at home against Nashville. They go on the road against the Hurricanes, who were wearing Hartford Whalers uniforms yesterday in celebration of ripping the hearts out of everyone in southern New England and taking their team away a couple of decades ago. They decided to turn it into a money-making opportunity and took care of business. Bruins actually led that game 2-0 less than 9 minutes in. And thanks to Ryan Donato, who had two goals yesterday, Steve Kampfer also had one, and they led it 2-1, but then the wheels really came off in the second period. And that goal in the third period, Tuukka Rask was actually facing completely the wrong way, turns the puck over at the side of the net, like literally just hands it away, right in front of the post, and then makes a save while he is facing the net. The puck hits him in the ass, essentially, on the first shot, but the second one goes in. It was pretty much summed up the day for the Bruins yesterday.
Maybe. We'd have to check with Tuukka Rask. Maybe he's a big nostalgia fan and just wanted to hear the Brass Bonanza. It's very possible that was a draw for him. You gotta factor that in.
Well, as always,
I'd have trouble playing net knowing that if I let one in,
Brass Bonanza,
I'd be dancing.
Well, as always, when Tuukka doesn't play well, he admits it.
Well, yeah, well, the second period, I mean, it was not the best period, but we battled back in the third, and then huge mistake by me. There's the game.
That's it.
Yeah. That's the big development that I think happened last week that I sort of thought this might happen at some point this year, but I thought it would be a much bigger deal, and I don't know, maybe it's because of the Patriots overshadowing everything, but did you notice the starting goaltenders last week?
Yep.
Monday at Montreal. Halak, Thursday Anaheim, Halak, Saturday Nashville, Halak, and then you get Tuukka on Sunday. Close out the break. And I think what has happened without really being announced or without much fanfare is that you've got two U's and two K's in the word backup.
I mean, he's been dealing with something minor, supposedly. I don't know what the veracity of that is, really, but look, you play the guy who's winning games. And that's I think that, you know, going into this season, you expected that Halak was going to get a decent amount of time. I mean, they're paying him a good amount of money for a backup goalie, and he's got the experience.
Yeah.
And then Tuukka took his little break, and he came back, and they were both playing well. And so just kind of split time. But
right, but that's not a split.
You get to a point now where, look, if, you know, in back-to-back games – you give up one goal total, then you're going to keep playing the guy who's playing well. And Tuukka didn't play well yesterday.
No.
And Halak is playing well. I would guess that, you know, you wouldn't have thought it necessarily at the beginning of the year, but I would guess that Halak probably ends up the Winter Classic starter.
He very well could be. I think that's probably the story that will sort of bring it back to everyone's radar because things can get sort of lost. But I think, obviously, the opening night fiasco for Rask was awful, but if you look at the numbers since then and compare them to Halak after his ridiculous October, they're basically the same. Outside of the wins, the Halak since November has a 923, Rask has a 918. They have both have a 2.5 goals against. Like, they've been pretty comparable in that span, and yet they just seem to win more when Halak's in there.
Not a great day yesterday for Charlie McAvoy either. Couple of really nasty turnovers in his own zone that ended up in the back of the net.
First period was really good for us. Second period was unfortunate. You know, it was a really bad 20 minutes of hockey for me, but not the first and not the last. So never too high, never too low. Third period, I thought I felt my game a little more, tried to contribute. I think we were making a good little comeback effort, starting with Ryan's goal there towards the end of the second. But you know what? It's hockey.
It is hockey.
Never too high, never too low. Hear that 100,000 times.
All three phases
of the
game.
Season. That is a hockey class. Never too high, never too low. You know, it's a long season. Can't get too high, can't get too low.
Mostly can't get too low. I think these guys try to get as high as possible with a lot of these emotions. You watch these games?
I thought you were talking about like
not physical. No,
NBA is more of the
yeah.
Can never get too high.
That shorthanded goal that the Hartford Whalers scored down in Carolina, that was ugly. The McAvoy turnover on the wall.
There was a lot of ugly.
Maybe you just got to watch out for these games before a break. You know, the Patriots lost their game before a bye. The Bruins lost their game before the little 3-day break.
It also, too, is, what they put, 5 games in 8 days?
Busy stretch. They had done pretty well.
You know, you got 3 days off coming up here. You don't play again until Thursday. So you're playing back-to-back. You fly down to Carolina. You get blinded by the green uniforms and brass bonanza. I mean, there are a lot of things working against it.
And the more you look at it, do people in Carolina care about the Hartford Whalers? That's the weird part about the whole throwback retro night. I don't think they care that much.
Well, no. I mean,
they stole the franchise.
Yeah, there's no history there. It was like, I mean, it's, again, I feel like the whole thing was just kind of ill-conceived.
Like, are the Tennessee Titans going to dress up as the Houston Oilers at some point, or are the Houston Texans going
to
dress up as the Houston Oilers at some
point?
But wouldn't it make more sense for the Texans to do it than the Titans?
Right, I guess.
It's just the new home doesn't
really
have the
history. Yeah, I guess
it's
like when the Kansas City Royals dress up as the Kansas City Monarchs. It's like really not the same.
Right, it's more the people.
Organization.
It's the city and the people and all that, okay. Not the actual franchise.
You know what the Texans should do? They should get like Astros-themed like rainbow uniforms sometime. The old
80s. They are a boring franchise. For an expansion team, they have no like – their logo hasn't changed. Their jerseys don't really change. Take some chances.
All right, we will get back into the Patriots win yesterday. We've got Jeff Howe coming up in about 20 minutes. He's going to join us. You guys have a little thing back and forth?
It's a fun thing. We used to work together.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, anyone that's worked with me for more than a month hates my guts. So it's just
I can see that. We work together like once or twice a year. And,
that's the max.
You know,
that's the max. And you probably hate me anyway. So it's a grind. I'm a grind. I am a tough person to be around, so it's just natural. I accept it.
All right, we will get back into the Patriots' win yesterday, talk a little bit about Tom Brady, not only his performance yesterday, but his performance as a whole this year. And he dropped some news about his health yesterday. He likes talking about his health.
He loves it.
He loves it.
He loved those questions yesterday.
I'm sure he did. We're going to hear those coming
up
next.
Are you healthy, Tom?
It's Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.